Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
But right now, let's talk a little NFL as we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Say hello to our buddy Eric Edholm, Yahoo Sports NFL writer. Eric, what's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing well. I want to start with the Sunday night game last night because it's weird. I'm sitting here on Super Wild Card weekend and, you know, I'm watching the games, I'm betting on the games, but I'm also looking at it with like a little Falcons red and black tint and some sunglasses on thinking, okay, where are we compared to that team? And I want to start with the Chiefs because last year they needed to get their offensive line figured out. And they went out and they drafted Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. They brought in Joe Tooney in free agency. They traded for Orlando Brown. They fixed it and they protected their investment in one offseason with Patrick Mahomes. Why can't the Falcons do the same?
Yeah, I mean, they really did kind of strike gold in a lot of different ways, too. And you know, I mean, not everything they did worked out perfectly, right? I mean, they signed Kyle Long and he hasn't been able to see the field. He's been on IR and, you know, I mean, things happen, obviously. They've had to rely on Andrew Wiley here down the stretch. But you accumulate depth and you supplement it as best you can. I mean, you know, I heard an evaluator say a pretty interesting thing a couple of years ago, and I never forgot it. He said, you know, we often will draft to our strengths. We'll draft to positions that we're already in pretty good shape at because, you know, maybe not first-round selections, but we'll certainly buttress it because if you lose a star player, let's say your left tackle, and you have to turn to an undrafted rookie as his replacement or some journeyman who's got three starts to his name, how big a drop-off is that? It completely changes your identity. So, you know, easier said than done, of course, right? Not everybody hits on every draft pick. You have other needs pulling you in different directions. There's only so much salary cap money you can spend and whatnot. But, yeah, I think the Chiefs are kind of a blueprint for – how you attack a position in the offseason, how you make it work under the constraints of having a well-paid quarterback, and how you get these guys developing chemistry together. So it really has worked out. I mean, outside of the Tennessee game, I think you can say that it's been a team strength that they've, you know, more often than not been very dominant up front. As for the Falcons, though, I mean, you know, for the amount of draft capital they've spent at that position, you'd expect a little more continuity, a little more strength, and just a little more stability, I guess.
Eric, obviously, a lot of coordinators in yesterday's games and on Saturday as well are also interviewed for head coaching jobs. I'm very curious how you view the games this weekend in terms of people going out and getting jobs, right? Because there are a couple coordinators that look fantastic. Todd Bowles with the Bucks looked absolutely incredible. I think about Brian Daboll with the Bills, offensive coordinator there, fantastic. And there's some other coordinators who are getting interviews. Jonathan Gannon, the Eagles defensive coordinator. You look at, you know, Kellen Moore, the OC for the Dallas Cowboys. Do you think a lot of these teams that need head coaches take more value in what they recently saw in this weekend's games? Or do you think that it's not really going to matter if your guy got blown out or your guy played really, really well?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there are things that should and shouldn't matter, right? And recency bias can always kind of skew our view of you know, who the best coordinators are. And sometimes the best coordinators don't make the best head coaches. We've learned that lesson the hard way lots of times in history. And you know, that seems to be the natural progression. You know, you get elevated from, you know, to the NFL as a position coach, work your way up the chain, maybe get to that coordinator play calling position, and then you get your head coaching chance. And I understand why that's the case, but just because you're a master of X's and O's, or just because you put up, you know, 47 points on the Patriots, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be the next Bill Belichick, right? So there's so much that goes into it, obviously. And, you know, there have been really kind of introverted non-leaders who have been exceptional play callers. And we figure out once they get in that leadership position, you know, they were promoted beyond their abilities, right? I mean, again, it's not everybody is cut out to be a head coach. There are some head coaches who were never great coordinators, right? I mean, John Harbaugh comes to mind, obviously Belichick too. Mike Tomlin was spent 1 year as the Vikings defensive coordinator before getting his job. I don't think anyone would question their credentials. So that's why I don't mind some of these teams looking outside the box for, you know, like a Jared Mayo or a Hines Ward. I mean, who knows if they'll get jobs, but clearly there's some kind of intangible ability that those teams see in those men and say, okay, just because they're not the latest hotshot coordinator doesn't mean they can't be a head coach. You know, and with Todd Bowles, you ask yourself, what did we learn from his previous head coaching, you know, experience? What did we learn when he was there? Did he get dealt a bad hand and make the most of it? Or was he the reason that they didn't win as many games as they should have, or what have you? So I hope teams don't get too caught up in, you know, a playoff game performance. But in the case of Kellen Moore, I don't think you can separate some of the play calling, game management questions from him, all right? I mean, Mike McCarthy and Dak have taken plenty of heat this morning for the way they executed some of those plays, maybe the refs too, but I would think that the play caller also has something to do with it, and it's at least got to be a sliver of the projection of what they're going to be as potential head coaches.
Eric Edholm, NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, is joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Eric, the other thing I had from this weekend, as I'm watching these games and looking at it from a Falcons vantage point as well, is, you know, Terry Fontenot and the Atlanta Falcons and Arthur Smith are going to have to find the quarterback of the future. I mean, they certainly have to figure out the trenches and the pass rush and the salary cap hell that they're in, but they're going to have to find Matt's successor. And I thought this weekend really epitomized the difference between the elite quarterbacks and the arguable franchise quarterback. Like, I'm watching Josh Allen and Joe Burrow. I'm like, stud. And then I watch Derek Carr, and then I watch Jalen Hurts, and I watch Mac Jones, and I'm like, okay, franchise quarterbacks perhaps, high-end franchise quarterback for Derek Carr. But this weekend proved to me there's a big difference between the elite 5 to 6 quarterbacks and then guys like 7 on down to 15.
Right, and you know, you could even throw in, you know, the Tennessee Titans who sat out this weekend and ask yourself, you know, where does Ryan Tannehill fit on that spectrum, right? Is he in the closer to that Carr group, or is he closer to the Burrows of the world, what have you? You know, and that may be the difference in whether they succeed or not, whether they meet expectations as the number one seed. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds super obvious to say that such a thing, right? You have a better quarterback, you have a better chance to win. But then even to take it a step further, I mean, the loser of the 49ers, I guess both teams, 49ers and Packers, both have contingency plans that are already in place too, right? Jordan Love is backing up Aaron Rodgers. We don't know when Rodgers' tenure in Green Bay is going to end. We don't know if he stays for another 2-3 years. Things are great now and everything ends in la-la land, or, you know, Love's traded, what have you, or are they ready to turn to the kids? Same with Trey Lance in San Francisco if Jimmy is, you know, dealt this offseason or what have you. So, you know, if you can get that kind of situation, that's obviously nirvana, right? And it rarely works out perfectly where, you know, your young guy is developed at the perfect time and you can let the veteran go. I understand the situation that the Falcons are in. You don't want to be in a situation like the Steelers are in, for instance, where Roethlisberger, we assume this is his last game last night. You know, they can talk up Dwayne Haskins. Maybe he's the answer. We've seen Mason Rudolph before. They probably need to go get one other quarterback, be it a rookie or a free agent, a veteran of some sort, to make people feel like there's, you know, some upward movement there, that they can actually improve over the quarterback play that they received this year. So it's never clean. It's never perfect. It's never easy. But that's obviously what the vast majority of teams try to do. Look at the Patriots. During Brady's tenure, I think they drafted like 10 quarterbacks. And, you know, I mean, Cliff Kingsbury was one of them, right? I mean, he ended up a coach, and Kevin O'Connell is one of them. He's on the Rams staff. And, you know, you look at, you know, Garoppolo, obviously, and, you know, some of these guys clearly had some ability to either coach or play, had the quarterback coach brain of some sort. So, you know, they were doing something right, even though they had ostensibly the best quarterback in the game at the time. They knew they had to keep kind of drafting a potential successor every 2 years or so. And I think that's, you know, I look at the Falcons, right? They barely draft quarterbacks. So I think Sean Renfrey was the last one they drafted, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it's been a minute since they've had a young guy waiting in the pen.
Eric, one more here, and then we'll go ahead and let you go. Did this weekend change your – I'm not sure what your Super Bowl picks are, but this weekend change at all who you feel will be in the NFC and AFC championship games, or are you kind of still stuck on a couple of teams based on what you saw this weekend?
Well, I was reminded a few days ago by a Twitter follower that I buttered the bread on both sides. I apparently picked Bills 49ers back in August, but then somewhere else I also picked – Bills Packers. So I thought maybe I could get away with it. Apparently, I don't know. But so depending on which one you want to go with, I felt a lot better about my Bills pick, obviously, because, you know, when they let's go back to halftime of the game in Tampa, they had just lost to New England in that 14-10 game, you know, had the ball rammed down their throat 55 times or whatever it was. Patriots throw three passes, still win up in Orchard Park. I mean, that, you know, that hurt. And then the first half against Brady and the Bucs, they were down, I think, 27-3. Everything since then has been trending upward. The competition, not great, but they did play New England once in there prior to the playoff game. And then to go out and do a Belichick defense, what I don't think anyone's ever done before in the playoffs, certainly not even in the regular season, you could probably argue to. I mean, that's an all-time historic performance. Will they back it up? You know, can they go out and beat the Chiefs? I think they can. They've already done it once this year. You know, they've faced this team a number of times in the last couple of years. They know what to expect. They know what kind of environment they're getting into. So, you know, I think the Bills' Super Bowl chances certainly didn't take a dip downward after that. So I feel a little bit better about that half of the equation. The other half, you know, we'll find out. One of those Super Bowl teams I picked is going to win. One's going home.
Josh Allen, man, that five touchdown performance, like you said, was incredible to watch him do it against that Belichick defense. Eric, we're out of time. I appreciate you jumping on here, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy divisional round weekend next weekend.
All right, guys. See you. Take it easy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.